Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be Daf Kuf Ayin Beis Omed Aleph. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we open up our Daf, the third line from the top of Kuf Ayin Beis Omed Aleph in Bava Basra, we immediately encounter one of our geometric forms. These forms are generally explained in the outside margin, as we have in this case under the heading Mivneh, indicating structure. So you see the diamond featured. The diamonds in the next couple lines, you have one over here and a few lines later another one. Shnei Hoirois, two rulings, Be'inyan Ksivas Zman Umokoim Beshtoros, regarding the method of recording the time and place when preparing documents. The Gemara begins, Omar Lehu, Rovo Bar Rav Shilo, Lahano Kasvi Shtora Akniosa. Rovo addresses these preparers, scribes, if you will, who prepare Shtoros that are referred to as Shtori Akniosa, which we can explain as Shtoros Matona Umechira. Shtoros that indicate a gift of property is given, or a sale of property is taking place. The Rashbam points out that in the case of a gift given in a shtar, gifts are generally not accompanied by a guarantee. In other words, the receiver of the gift can enjoy the gift. If anything should happen to the gift he received, the giver does not have to make good on it. In the case of a shtar mechira, the preparation of the shtar per se is not that which creates the guarantee element. The fact that a sale took place in front of witnesses, according to the Rashbam, is sufficient to create the koil, to create the public awareness that a sale took place, and anyone who buys from this seller subsequently is risking himself or subjecting himself to the lien of the earlier seller and buyer. Namely, if anything should happen to the property that was bought by the earlier buyer, the subsequent buyers may have to part with their acquisition. This koil, this public awareness, is not created by the document itself, but created by the fact that the sale takes place in front of witnesses. That having been said, Rava instructs the scribes that prepare these documents, ki kasvisu shtori aknisa, when you prepare these types of documents, I yad isu yuma de kanisu bei ksovu. If you are aware of the actual date on which the transaction took place, so record that date in the document. The Eloi, if you don't know on which day the transaction took place, Kisvu Yoima de Kaimisu Bay, record the date that you are currently in, meaning the date of the preparation of the document is the date that's written into the document. So that it should not appear as a lie. In other words, if you're recording a document and you say that this and this document is being recorded on a given day and it's not the day that you're actually writing it, unless you know the date of the transaction, it would otherwise appear as a lie. Hence, you are to record, if you don't know the date of the transaction, you are to record the date on which the document is prepared. Omar lehu Rav l'safrei, v'chein omar lehu Rav Huna l'safrei. Rav and Rav Huna instruct their scribes. 2 points. Ki kaimisu b'shili, when you are standing in the town of Shili, kisvu b'shili, record in the document that this document is being prepared in Shili, v'afagav de mesirin l'chumili Behini, even though you received your instructions in the town of Hini. And likewise the opposite, Ki Kaimisu Behini, if you're preparing a document in the town of Hini, Kisvu Behini, record in the document that this is being written in Hini, Ve'afal Gab, the Mesirin Luchumili, even though you received your instructions, Beshili, in the town of Shili. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice some more geometric forms. To appreciate their role, let us glance at the outside margin. We have a topic heading titled Nosei / Mivne, where we combine the title of the sugya, or the general introduction to the sugya, plus the structural note. So we see a volcano form. These are Shnei Memros Shel Rava, two teachings or statements of Rava. You can see one immediately now in the Gemara, and the next one will be on the third wide line of the Gemara as you scan ahead. Deloi Meshanim Mispar Hashtoros Shiesh Bidei Hatoiveya Afilu Im Shomrim Al Oisoi Schum Kesef, that we do not change the number of documents that are in the hands of the Tovea, the one who's collecting the money. You have someone who loaned money, so the lender is coming with a certain number of documents indicating that a loan had been extended. The change in number of documents is not allowed to take place, even if the amount remains the same, the amount in terms of the amount of money involved. We'll see two cases. In other words, if a loan of 100 zuz or $100 was extended, so we do not convert the $100 loan into two $50 loans. And if the loan was two $50 loans, we don't combine them into one new shtar of $100. We'll also notice a bow tie form. This is part of the coming discussion. Shavio Nihali, this represents the request. Hainu Habakosha Lishanos. So we'll see under the two volcano headings, namely the two teachings of Rava, two examples where a request is put forth. And that's represented by these words, Shavio Nihali, meaning converted into whatever we'll see. And then we've circled under the two cases, the first case, Trey, where the original loan, we have actually two circles in each case, where the original amount is circled, Shtora, which in the first case was one Shtar, and then after the Shavio Nihali, the request to convert it into, we circle the word Trey. In the second presentation of Rava, the original loan was represented by two shtoros, two documents, two 50 zuz documents, and the request there is to convert them into one singular 100 zuz document. In both cases, we do not make the change, and the Gemara will explain. Omar Rava, Hai Man, Denokit Shtora Bar Meazuzi. A lender is holding a shtar that entitles him to collect 100 zuz. The Omar, and he turns to the scribes and says, Shavio Nihali Trey Bnei Chamshin Chamshin. I would like you to prepare for me instead 250 zuz documents. Loi Mashvino Lahu. We do not cooperate. We don't do it. You'll notice that we've marked the expression lo mashvinan lu with this dashed underline here, and in the next case as well, under Rava number 2. In other words, in both cases, we do not cooperate. My time, Mother Gemara asks, why not? It's the same amount of money. What difference does it make whether it's one shtar, as was the case here originally, or two, as he's requesting the change? The Gemara answers, our non-cooperation is actually going to benefit both sides. In other words, we're interested in maintaining the status quo, and maintaining the status quo will benefit both sides, each one for a different reason. Avdu Rabbonan Milsa, the Rabbonan enacted a ruling, de Nicho Le Lamalve, v'nicho le laloive, that is beneficial to Aleph, the malve, to the lender, and also beneficial to the borrower. The Gemara explains. Notice we are going to use again the Aleph and Beis in explaining the two points that were mentioned. Nicho le, we've squiggled on the line nicho le, and the next line also nicho, to emphasize at which point the explanation begins. So nicho le la malve, the ruling not to change the status quo here is beneficial to the malve. In other words, maintaining the singular shtar of 100 and not converting it into 250s serves to the benefit the lender, kedei sheyachuf lefor oy, so as to motivate and serve as an additional incentive for the borrower to pay up. The Rashbam explains, ki hechi delechuf lefor ulefar e, the Rashbam is found in the wide lines, almost halfway down the wide section. He says, kishi yifrenu loiva lemava chatzi chovo, in the event that the borrower pays up half of the debt, yichufenu malva lefrolo ashar, the lender will be exerting pressure, or will be able to exert pressure to pay up the balance, kidaga loive, because the borrower will be afraid, pen yafsid shoivroi, for he may lose his receipt. Vidbeu malve kolchoivo, and then if the lova cannot produce a receipt, that'll create an opportunity for the malva, who still has the original full amount document, to collect the entire sum, even though half of it was already paid up. This would not have been the case had we converted the 100 zuz shtar into 250s, and on the occasion that the lova, the borrower, would have paid up half of it, namely 50 zuz of the 100 zuz loan, he simply would have torn up the 50 zuz document, leaving the second 50 zuz document intact to collect the balance. And the malve, the lender, would have lost this leverage that he has now by virtue of our keeping the original full amount in a singular shtar still intact. Continuing in the Gemara, v'nicho laloive, maintaining the original 100 shtar loan document intact and not converting it into 250s, serves to benefit the loaf as well, ki hechi denifgam shtore. Without giving a literal translation to this, we'll explain this phrase with the legal application. In the case that a loan has been partially paid up and the original document is still intact, when the malva comes to collect the balance, he's going to be telling us, yes, this is a 100 zuz shtar, I've already been paid part of it. That's the expression nifgam shtar, where he indicates that the shtar that he's holding is not in actuality the amount that's still owed to him, rather less is owed to him. Under such circumstances, for the malve to collect the balance, he's going to have to swear. He's going to have to take a shavua, and if he doesn't take the shavua, he's not going to get the rest of his money. This is beneficial to the lova, in other putting a sort of hurdle in the way of the malve, making it a little more difficult for the malve to get that balance, giving the lova sort of extra strength or breathing room, if you will, in so far as his need or urgency in paying up the debt. So once again, by keeping the original document intact, the malva will not be able to collect the balance unless he takes a shavua, which we can say parenthetically is not something people like doing. The Omar Rava, Haiman Denoket Shrei Shtori Bnei Chamshin Chamshin. One who extended a loan and has two shtoros, each one of 50 zuz. The Omar, and he requests, Shavinhu Nihali Chad Bar Meo, convert them for me into one singular 100 zuz document. Loi Mashvinon Lei. We do not cooperate, we do not make it into one singular document. Ovid Rabbanan Milsa Denicha Leila Mava Venicha Leila Lava. The same structure as before. The Rabbanan in this ruling create a situation that's beneficial to the Mava and the Lova. Nicha Leila Mava. It's beneficial to the lender. Ki Hechi Dolo Nifgoim Shtore. In this case, being that he has 250 shtoros, 50 zuz documents, after he gets partial payment, for him to collect the balance, he will not have to take a shvua, because he will be collecting the balance with a shtar, which represents the full amount remaining to be collected. And since it represents the full amount, regarding that's the balance, the second 50 zuz, he wasn't pogain the shtar. He is not indicating that it is any, that the amount owed is any less than is contained in the shtar. If 50 is written in the shtar, and that's the balance that remains, that's a full shtar. And hence, he'll be able to collect without taking a shvua. V'nichole la loive, this situation is beneficial to the loive as well. Kedei shelo yachuf leforo. In this case, when he's paid up half of it, half of the loan, so the shtar representing half of it is torn up. There's no need for a shovar and the maintenance of an original full amount document. And as a result of that, the lova is not under additional pressure to pay up the balance for fear of losing the receipt, as we explained before, while the original full amount is still intact. In this case, the full amount is no longer intact when he pays part of it, the half payment at first. Omar Rav Ashi, Haiman Denokit Shtora Bar Meozuzi. A fellow had a shtar indicating that 100 zuz was owed to him. The Omar, and he turns to scribes and says, Shavini Nihali Chad Bar Chamshin. I would like you to make this into a singular one shtar of 50 zuz. The Lova already paid 50, so I don't need to hold on to a shtar of 100. Make it into a shtar of 50. Lo Mashvino Le. We do not cooperate with him. We do not make it. We don't prepare for him a new shtar of 50. My time, oh. Why not? Amrinon, we figure. Hi, Mifra Pare. This borrower already paid up the full amount, we suspect. The Omar lay, and we suspect that the Lova, the borrower, said to the lender, Havli Shtaroi, give me the shtar, the 100 shtar. The Omar lay, and the Malve told him, we suspect, Irkesli, I lost your shtar. I lost that original document of 100. The Kosiv lay Tavra, and the Malve, in order to get his payment, agreed to write a receipt. A receipt on the full amount. So he wrote a receipt of 100 zuz. And then, umapik lay high, and we're suspicious that he would then, the lender would then produce or whip out this new shtar that we would have prepared for him. The omar lay, and the lender would say to the borrower, oh, you owe me 50, even though he already paid the full amount. He'd say, well, you still owe me 50, because hi achrina who, this document represents another loan. Hence, when someone comes, as we said, asking his 100 zuz shtar to be converted into a 50 zuz shtar, we suspect this as foul play and do not cooperate. The Mishnah. Shnei achim, echod oni ve'echod oshir. Two brothers, one a man of means and one oni, an impoverished person. V'niach lohen avihen merchatz ubeis habar. And their father left for them a bathhouse and a press. Ason l'schar, haschar le'emsa. If their father had used these facilities as a means of income by renting them out, so the sons will continue using these facilities as their father did by renting it out and splitting the rent money. Ason liatzmo, if the father was using the bathhouse and the press for himself, hare ha'oshir omer l'oni, the wealthy son can say to the poor son, namely the wealthy brother says to the poor brother, I plan to keep using this as dad did, you know, bathing myself in there, my family, and using the press for my own oil production. As far as you're concerned, kach lecho avodim v'yurchatsu bamerchatz, kach lecho zesim uvo v'asa b'veis habad. Bring your servants, so to speak, but he's poor, he probably doesn't have any servants, and bring your olives, and he probably has very little by way of that, and press your oil in the Beis Chabad. In other words, the rich heir can insist on the continued use of it as their father used it, even though the other heir will not be benefiting it from it because he doesn't have the means with which to derive benefit from it. Shnayim shehoyu bi'ir achas. As you can see in the Mishnah, we've produced a slash mark. This indicates that the continuation of the Mishnah has nothing to do with the earlier part of the Mishnah in terms of content. Shnayim shehoyu bi'ir achas, shem echod Yosef ben Shimon, v'shem acher Yosef ben Shimon. Two people with the same name living in the same town. Ein yecholim lahoitzi shtar choiv ze al ze. One of them cannot pull out a document with the name Yosef ben Shimon in it, indicating that Yosef ben Shimon owes me money. The Rashbam points out, explains, Einon yecholim lahoitzi shtar choiv ze al ze, sheyochol haloi liton the. One from whom the payment is being claimed can say shtar ze shebiyodcha, the document that you are holding, ani hichzartiv loch kishe hichzarta li momon shelavisa bo mimeni. You know why you're holding this document? It's a document indicating that you once borrowed money from me, and I returned the document when you paid me the money. The second point the Mishnah makes here is Veloi Achir Yochol Lahotzi Alehen Shtarchov, and an outsider cannot go to the to one of the Yosef bin Shimon's with the claim that you owe me money. The reason for that is that either Yosef bin Shimon that is approached for payment will be able to say, I'm not the one that owes you money, it's the other one that owes you money. Nimtza le'echod bein shtaroisov. If someone finds amongst his documents the following written statement, shtaroi shel Yosef ben Shimon porua, the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon has been paid up. Shtaros shnehem pruin. So, as far as both Yosef ben Shimon's are concerned, it's considered that they have both been paid up. In other words, they've both paid their obligation. Ketzad Yasu. How should they behave? Namely, two people with the same name that live in the same town. How can they show a distinction within their documents? So the Mishnah advises Yishalshu. They add another generation. In other words, we already have the father's name recorded, so they should record the grandfather's name also. The hope being that they don't have grandfathers with the same name. Vim hoyu mishulashin, if the two fellows have not only fathers with the same name, but grandfathers with the same name, yichtevu simen, they should add into their signatures, add some kind of physical description of themselves. If one is tall, so he indicates it's Yosef ben Shimon ben David, the tall one. Ve'im hoyu mesumanim, if the two Yosefs in town are of similar external features, then yichtevu koyein, if one of them is a koyein, so he should indicate that. The hope being that the other one doesn't have all of these similar characteristics, as well as also being a Kohen. We have on the outside margin a Nosei heading, and we also indicate its length, Ad Soif Amid Beis, until the end of Amid Beis, of this daf. Mi Shemuchsuk Beshtar Shekosuv. The topic will deal with someone who's holding a document in which the following text appears. Ani ploni ven ploni lovisi mono mimcha. I, so-and-so, stating his name, borrowed from you this amount of money, mona from you. Velo kosuv shem hamalve b'mefurash. The name of the lender is not spelled out. Ha'im ze she muchsok boy. Is it possible that the one holding this document, v'toyen shaloyve shehilve loy es hakesef, and the holder of the document claims that he loaned money to the name that's in this document, to that person, yochol ligvois b'shtar ze, can he actually use this as an instrument of collection from the fellow with that name? Or possibly, this document that indicates that a certain party borrowed money, it could be that that certain party borrowed money from someone other than the one currently holding the document. Continuing in the Gemara, Hahu Shtora Denofak Beve Dino Deravuna. A case involving a document that appeared in the court of Ravuna, Davi Kosev Bey, it was written in this particular document that, let us just repeat, this document is currently held by a fellow who is claiming this amount. He's claiming payment of this amount. What's written in the document? Ani ploni bar ploni lovisi mona mimcho. I, so-and-so, borrowed money from you. Omar Rav Huna. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Rav Huna says that the expression mimcho is non-committal. Mimcho? Afilu meresh galusa, v'afilu mishavur malka. He says that it says that the person's name was written in borrowed money from you. The from you could be from the exilarch, from the head of the Jewish community in the diaspora. It could even be from King Shapur himself. In other words, there's no indication that the one holding the shtar is the one to whom this party is chayev to pay. Omar le Rav Chisda le Rabbo. Rav Chisda turns to Rabbo concerning this incident and says, "Pok ayin bo, go out and look into this matter." De leurta boi lo Rav Huna minoch, because in the evening Rav Huna is going to ask of you what you think about this case. Before we go on, we have a geometric form that we should explain. We see now a triangle. On the outside margin, we have the mivne, the structural note. This represents a ma'akav. We're going to be following a keep track system, keep track of the direction of the arguments, with the point facing up, l'rabo, yochol ligvois bo. According to Rabo, Rabbah will bring in evidence from sources that the one holding this document is able to collect with it. In other words, not like Rav Huna suggested at the very top, that the expression mimcha was non-committal and it didn't necessarily mean the one holding it is the one that extended the loan. Rabbah will bring evidence that the one holding this unqualified document, this general form, namely the mimcha type expression, is able to collect with it. the triangle eventually will flip over with the point facing down. At that point, we will see Abaye asking on that position. So we turn to the Gemara. Nofak, Rabbo went out. Dok, he investigated. Ve'ashkach, and found Desanya, the following source. We have a frame around the next couple lines. In our marking system, the sections that are in a frame that are boxed off represent Tanaic sources. The framing helps to distinguish the Tanaic source from the rest of the Gemara. The marking that we find to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, namely between the Gemara and the Tosfos, in that space you see Rabbo encircled with a vertical dashed line. This indicates the length of Rabbo's point. So Rabbo says there that we find a source, Desanya, get sheyeshal of edim v'ein boi zman, a document that has in it signed witnesses, but there's no date written in it. Abba Shol Omer, im kosuv boi girashtia hayoim kosher. If in the document it says that she was divorced with it today, then the document is valid. Alma, hayom. So we see from here that this fairly non-specific expression, namely hayom, today, that's written into a document, means hahu yuma de nofik be mashma. For us, it means, according to Abba Shol, the day that the document is being produced. Hochonami, so too in our case. Mimcha, the general expression that says simply from you. Mehahu gavra denofik mituse yode mashma. It has the same implication that it means the person from under whose hands this document is being produced. Omar le Abaye. Abaye objects to using the Abba Shol case with a get that has the expression hayom written in it as proving our case of the loan document with mimcha written in it. He says, Vidilma Abba Shol, that was machshir the shtar, Karebi Eliezer svirole, he accepts the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, the Omar, Ede Mesiro Karsi. Rabbi Eliezer, and we've discussed this in previous shiurim, Rabbi Eliezer, as opposed to Rabbi Meir, holds that even if you have a document that has no witnesses written in, the document may still be valid provided it was given over in the presence of witnesses. Ede Mesira, the witnesses that see the handing over of the document, are the ones, Karsi, that make it into a valid legal instrument. The reason we have witnesses that sign documents, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is called Mitnei Tikkun HaOlam, that in the event that the witnesses that saw the handing over die or just not available to testify, we have a fallback position and we can rely on the fact that witnesses signed the document. So we say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the signing is a formal matter but not of legal of a legally binding nature, and we call that tikkun olam. Similarly, the writing of a date according to this approach would be a tikkun olam element, and even without the date it could still be acceptable. But that's a shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Avol hocha lechush l'nafila. But in our case with the loan document, there's a separate consideration. It may have fallen away, fallen out of the possession of the real lender, and the fellow holding it simply found it. But he has no legitimate right to collect the money. Before we go further, let's glance at a section that we've highlighted in the Rashbam, toward the end of the narrow lines there's an asterisk that we've written into the Gemara, into the Rashbam, and the Rashbam there says v'chihechi de Rebbe Lozer machshule b'loy edim, just like Rebbe Lozer allows a document to be considered kosher, valid, even though there are no witnesses written, signed in the document, mishum taimo the edim masira karsi, based on his position that the witnesses that see the handing over are the ones that validate the document, that make the document into an active legal instrument. Hachinami machshule beloizman bishum haytaimo gufei. Rebbe Elazar would also validate a document that doesn't have a date written in it, based on the same reasoning. Kidekotoni, as is taught, there's a Mishnah that teaches yeshal of eidim ve'ein bozman. A document that has witnesses signed but does not have a date, Baha'i Mishnah, the Shloisha Gittim Sulim, that this quote is coming from the Mishnah that said that refers to three different types of Gittin, the Allah Koi Rebbe Elazar V'Yomar, and on that Rebbe Elazar says, Afapi She'ein Olav Edim, even if there are no witnesses on it, Baha'i Shtar She'ein Bozman, no witnesses on this very same document that has no date, Kosher. The document is still valid. The whole signing of the witnesses on a get is only for security purposes that we referred to before in our explanation as tikkun olam. So too, as far as the validity, the essential validity of the document, it could be valid without a date written in it as well. The whole reason for writing a date in is because of an external consideration referred to as tikkun olam, briefly referred to here in the Rashbam, of case 1, debas achoiso, and 2, uperos, which are explained in Maseches Gittin at greater length. That having been said, what Abai is doing in our Gemara, he's refuting or offering a rebuttal to the source that Rabba brought to prove his point. Hence, we're back to the position that Rav Huna took, that even though someone is holding a document saying that so-and-so owes money to so-and-so because he borrowed mimcha, he borrowed from you, which sounds like he borrowed from the one holding the document, but this might have fallen out of the hands of the real lender, and this fellow holding it just happened to pick it up. Omar lay, Rabba responds, and you can see the triangle now repositioned itself with the point facing upwards. It's Rabba responding. Lunafilo loy chayshinan. I don't take that into consideration that it fell out of someone else's hands and this guy just happened to pick it up. Umino tamra dolo chayshinan lunafilo. And from where do I know to say that we are not suspicious of that having happened? This nun, we now have a long answer to answer this particular question. Before we go on, there appears a diamond in the sugya. The true purpose of this diamond will be appreciated only when we get to Kuf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, as a part of a series of Tanaic sources that discuss the situation of two people with the same name in the same town and what happens with regard to their documents, whether it be between the two parties themselves or with respect to the public. But as the first read through of the Gemara, the role of this diamond will not be fully appreciated. What we are looking for right now is from where does Rabba know to say that we're not choshesh for the possibility of the document having fallen out of the hands of another real owner. This nun, Shnayim Shoyu Beir Achas, two people in the same town. This is a quote from our Mishnah, as we've indicated. Shem Echod Yosef Ben Shimon V'Shem Echod Yosef Ben Shimon. The Mishnah said, "Einon yecholim lahotzi shtar choiv zeal ze." They cannot produce a document one against the other, saying that you owe me money, because the one being claimed from, as we explained before in the Mishnah, could say, "What do you mean I owe you money? I'm the one that loaned you the money, and that you're holding the shtar because I gave it back to you when you paid me." And point base, velo achir yochol lahotzi aleim shtar chov, and an outsider cannot come up to one of these Yosef and Shimon's and say, you owe me money, because Yosef and Shimon can always say, I'm not the one that owes you money, it's the other one that does. We have two cases where the shtoros are not effective, but we are going to now make an inference from this Mishnah. However, a Yosef ben Shimon could use the shtar to collect from someone else, from an outsider, not from his fellow Yosef ben Shimon, but from someone else in town. You'll ask, "Amai? Why should that be so? Why can Yosef ben Shimon try to collect money from some outsider?" In other words, if Yosef ben Shimon has a document that says that David owes Yosef ben Shimon money, Yosef ben Shimon, one of them, who happens to hold such a document, can use it to collect from David. Vamai, you'll ask, well, why should that be? Lechu shlin afilo. Couldn't David say, hey, you're not the one I owe the money to. It fell out of the hands of the other one that I really owe the money to. Yet we don't say that. Elolav, shma mino, we see from here, lunafilo, lo chayshinan. That we're not suspect that it fell from the hands of one Yosef ben Shimon and was found by the other Yosef ben Shimon. Ve'abaye, notice the triangle flips over with the point facing down. Abaye responds, Lenefilo dechad lo chayshinan. I agree with the inference that you drew from the Mishnah, whereby the suspicion would have been that it fell from the hands of one and was found by the one other possible candidate for whom it would have had been if it would have been beneficial. That's the lenefilo dechad. That situation, I'm not going to suspect. However, lenefilo de rabim chayshinan, but where a document fell out of the hands of one and was found by anyone in the public, where the possibilities are vastly greater for the continued benefit of the document, as opposed to the case before where only one other person would have benefited by the Yosef ben Shimon document. So we're not going to suspect that it fell from one and happened to be found by the other only individual for whom it would have been beneficial. That's quite different than the case of mimcha, which is a general expression where it could very well have fallen out of the hands of one, and being that the general public could also benefit from it, that situation we do take into consideration. That's what the Gemara calls, that's what Abaye calls, lenefilo derabim cheshinon. We can glance in the Rashbam, v'Abaye, lenefilo dechad lo cheshinon kegon, shtar shebiyad Yosef ben Shimon, sheyesh loy al echod min ashuk. Yosef ben Shimon has a bill of collection enabling him to collect from someone in the public. Dahainu nefila dechad umetzio dechad. Namely, the case involves it falling from the hand of one Yosef ben Shimon and found by the other. Hechi isrami milsa. How could it be demi Yosef ben Shimon nofal v'Yosef ben Shimon motzoi? It seems to be very unlikely that it fell from the hands of one, and it just so happened to me that the one that found it is the other guy with the same name. Therefore, we don't take that into consideration and allow Yosef ben Shimon, even though there's someone else in town with the same name, to make a collection from someone else in town. Avol, Gabi Lovisi Mona Mimcha. However, regarding our case where a document says, I borrowed money from you, Dahainu Nefilo Derabim. This is the case where the falling involves the public. Sheish lochush meish acher ba'olam nofal, veish acher ba'olam motzo, kagon ze shemuchzak bo, where the circumstances behind this case could have been involving anybody and everybody. Namely, it could have fallen from the hands of anybody and found by just anybody. Under such circumstances where the possibilities of it falling and being found by people for whom it's effective are innumerable, there we do take into consideration that it happened to fall. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.